The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 26, verses 13 through 15. It's on page 234 of the New Testament. Acts chapter 26, verses 13 through 15. Allow me to read the word of God. About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Then I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," the Lord replied. Amen. Paul is now making his defense at the hearing held by Governor Festus at the request of King Agrippa. To Paul, making his defense was to testify about God. In his early life, Paul denied Jesus Christ and took the lead in persecuting the church because all the Jews of that day did so. And so, as a young elite, he was simply working harder than the others. Therefore, the young Paul was proud of his actions and not feeling remorseful. Today's scripture describes when, where, and how that young Paul was called by the Lord. Verse 13. About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. As a young Paul headed to Damascus to hunt down Christians in Damascus, which is 213 kilometers away from Jerusalem, on that very journey, Paul was called by the Lord. That road was not a special road that only the privileged people could travel on. It was a public road where anyone could come and go. It was an everyday life's road, so to speak. The time then was noon, 12 in the afternoon. 12 o'clock is when everyone is focused on their work, and also when the sunlight is the brightest. Then the Lord came to the young Paul and his companions with a light that is brighter than the sunlight. When everyone fell to the ground because of that light, the Lord pointed to Paul, calling him by his old name, Saul, and spoke to him. Let's look at verse 14. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." The Greek word kentron, translated as goads, is a word for a cattle droving stick with a metal or bone attached to its tip. If the cattle did not listen, the farmer would hit the cattle with the stick. The more they disobey by kicking their legs, the more painful it would become for them as the farmer would drive them more harshly. The Lord asked Paul, "Why are you persecuting me?" and spoke to him that the more Paul disobeyed the Lord, the more painful it would become for Paul. Let's read verse 15. Then I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," the Lord replied. To the words of the Lord, the young Paul asked who he was And the Lord replied, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It was not that the Lord had come to the young Paul without anyone knowing, in the middle of the night when everyone was asleep, or before the dawn. The Lord did not come when the young Paul was isolated from the world in a prayer house or monastery deep in the mountains. The Lord came to Paul, who was with his companions, at noon when everyone was engaged in their work in the middle of the road where everyone could see. In broad daylight, the Lord came to Paul publicly when Paul was concentrating in his everyday life. What kind of life was the young Paul occupied with back then? Paul's life was about trampling Christians with all possible means. The Lord said to the young Paul, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. To the young Paul, the Lord's words were a shock. Not only was it a shock that Jesus of Nazareth, whom he so denied, was the Messiah that God had promised, but also the fact that he has been persecuting Jesus was also a shock. So far, Paul had never persecuted Jesus directly. Paul never even met Jesus in person, who came to this earth, and he had been denying the existence of Jesus. The target of his persecution was only those who believed that Jesus was the Messiah. But when Paul heard the words of the Lord, I am Jesus whom you have been persecuting, he realized that harming someone is a crime against the Lord, as the Lord loves them. To Paul, it was a shocking enlightenment. From noon that day, Paul never again harmed the others. For his entire life, as his confession, I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. Paul was devoted in serving the others day and night, feeling obligated to all the people in the world. It's because he knew that serving the others is the way to serve the Lord, who loves those people. Despite all the hardships and difficulties, Paul traveled across the Mediterranean 3 times and did not shy away from going to Jerusalem, where the risks of getting killed were evident, all to serve the others with the gospel. The important fact is that when Paul devoted his life into serving the others to fulfill God's calling, the Lord held him stronger with his love and life. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. As Paul served the others with the gospel despite all hardships, Paul's heart was overflowing with the Lord's comfort and encouragement. Isn't this obvious? Paul, serving the others despite all the hardships, was a way to serving the Lord who loves them. So why wouldn't the Lord hold Paul stronger with his love and life? According to Acts chapter 2, verse 15, the Lord's Spirit came upon the disciples who were praying on the Pentecost at the third hour of the day, which is 9 in the morning. 9 o'clock in the morning is when the day begins. At that very moment, the Lord came upon the disciples, and the disciples who were selfish enough to run away, abandoning Jesus, who was being crucified, began to lead a life of serving the others from 9 o'clock in the morning that very day. And as the disciples lived a life of service to the people, it is no surprise that the Lord held them with his love and life. As such, Jesus' disciples and Paul, from the moment the Lord came upon them, began to serve the others day and night at 9 in the morning and 12 in the afternoon. When they did so, the Lord embraced them with his love and life, and they, in turn, worked harder to live a life of serving the others. God's calling. Man's response to the calling, God's encouragement, deepening of the man's response, continued in the virtuous circle. And in the virtuous circle of faith, were they able to become the path through which the Lord renewed the world. Last Tuesday, the Volunteers Encouragement Night was held for all the volunteers who serve the church throughout the year. During the program, 3 volunteers have shared their testimonies on behalf of all the volunteers. With their consent, I would like to invite you to watch their testimonies together. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. My name is Kim Ah-sel of the 24th District, serving the parking guidance service before and after the 4th worship service. It's a pleasure to be here. I've come here today because here at this church, while serving as a volunteer, I met my wife, who I prayed and earnestly wanted to meet. And we've been married for 3 months now, 3 months. So I came here to talk about it. I got married on October 3rd on the National Foundation Day of Korea. And after the wedding ceremony, I cried so much in the train to the airport on our way to the honeymoon. I cried because, in fact, my mother had told me, I said, we don't have that many guests to invite. Let's not have the wedding ceremony. However, we had 300 to 400 guests at the wedding, and I was so glad that they congratulated my parents and my wife's parents in person, telling them that they had done a good job raising us. I was so glad to see that. And in fact, I was worried that my dad wouldn't come to the wedding. But he came 3 hours before the wedding, took part in the entire process, and did not leave until the end, which I was so very thankful for. And the most touching thing was that in that train to Incheon, he told me that he loved me. Those three words I've been waiting for 30 years to hear. I was so thankful that I cried so much in that train to Incheon for the entire 1 hour. I turned 30 this year, and for 20 years, I lived apart from my parents, and of those 20 years, I lived alone for 10 years. You can imagine that it must have been lonesome for me. And another thing is that I was a bit afraid of the adults. I lived apart from my parents when I needed to bond and interact with them every day. And because I lived alone, building relationships, especially with older people, was so very difficult for me. But those in the parking service team approached me so easily. They were curious about me, had interest in me. Of course, less interested than the sisters because I'm a brother. But they were so kind to me. When we had snacks or fruits, they would offer them to me. They would tell me to take a break, or when it gets hot or cold, they would always take care of me. And they were always there serving in their positions. Actually, this may not be a big deal, but it really mattered to me because I believe I was healed because of those people who tried to resemble God. Without their hard work and efforts towards their faith, we wouldn't have gotten married, I think. It's not only the parking service team members, but all the fellow brothers and sisters who are gathered here today who have served in each of their positions. And because I know that it was with those volunteer services that they tried to keep their faith strong, and that throughout all this time they have worked tirelessly to do so, by looking at those brothers and sisters, I was able to meet God and I was changed. And these changes really helped me to understand my parents again, especially to understand my father. I got married 3 months ago. My father got married 30 years ago. But now that I am married, I realize that my dad, who seemed to be so strong and big, was also a young 30-year-old man, a young man. It must have been tough for him. And raising me so far, standing as a father of the family, I realize how great and how grateful it is that he endured all this time with his faith. And I realize that very faith should be the strong foundation for my marriage and my personal life. I also realized that this life of faith should not end with me, but that it should be passed on to the next generation. I am very grateful to God for allowing me to get married to my wife in less than a year since we met in the parking service team. What I would particularly like to give thanks to today is that it was God's great plan to allow me to meet with all these brothers and sisters of faith. And I am thankful that I am given the opportunity to talk about it tonight. Thank you for keeping that faith all these years, and also for building your families and leading this church based on that faith. I'd like to end my testimony by saying this to the brothers and sisters standing next to me. Can you please repeat after me? If you want, you can hold their hands. Thank you for all your work in 2016. I'm not done yet. And thank you. One more thing. I have one more thing to say. I love you. Congratulations on your wedding. I envy you. I'm a new believer, as I've only started coming to church 2.5 years ago. So, I am so grateful that I was given this precious opportunity to share my testimony tonight. I'm a volunteer working in the kitchen. Yes, it's a happy testimony. So on Wednesday in the kitchen, I work as a volunteer. I've only been with the team for about 1.5 years, so it's nothing special, really. Moreover, my main task is to sweep the floor and do the dishes, and to trim bean sprouts or green onions. Sometimes I get the more challenging task of tasting, but most of the time, I just need to focus on low-pressure duties. So I can't really think of any other volunteer work that allows you to have mental peace. Of course, this is limited to me only. We have a total of 8 members in the service team, but the other members have so much to take care of, from menu selection to getting the food ready right on time, and so on. What surprises me every time is this getting the food ready right on time. For 1.5 years, I think that would be around 70 weeks, but not once was the food prepared too late or too early, which I think is really amazing. The next surprising thing for me is the fantastic teamwork. In other words, it amazes me to see how each and every one of us is in charge of the perfect role. 5 of us are in charge of cooking, and 4 in charge of doing the dishes. But it's not all the same. Each role requires a slightly different talent, and each role is filled with people that are fit. So I really feel the phrase, putting the right man in the right place, applies here. Cooking team, who always shows us wonderful dishes, and the dishwashing team, who cleans up everything so quickly and neatly. We pay respect to one another and thank one another and turn the kitchen into a place full of compliments every Wednesdays. Is it because of those compliments? When I am in the kitchen, I don't find anything to be too difficult. This is the 3rd surprise I've been experiencing, but unfortunately, this one does not last that long. I get this feeling when I walk into the kitchen, but soon start to lose it once the Wednesday Bible study starts. And when fatigue seats on my shoulders and I start to doze off, I sometimes get overcome with shame, thinking, what have I started volunteering for? So far, I've talked about the impressions I got while working in the volunteer team. In other words, it was the introduction of my testimony. Let me now move on to the main point. It was a summer day. We couldn't turn on the light or the air conditioner, so I was working, sweating in the dark and hot kitchen, when one deaconess came in and said to me, "Oh, you are here alone meeting with God," she said. Then I realized the reason why I like the kitchen volunteer work as much as the Sunday sermons. I came to think that this is the place God has chosen for me to teach me about His love. God has sent me angel-like people to love me so dearly, and God allowed me to serve a passerby who was unable to eat anything for 3 days, allowing me to serve them, and getting to meet the members who dedicate themselves for their church every week, and working to support these members is also a great joy for me. I became a Christian only recently, so I still tend to judge everything with my mind. But God gave me to have faith in my heart, and allowed me to learn about the meaning of serving others physically. I get touched every time I think about God's delicate grace. When I went to the retreat, I told my friends, even if I get to start a new job, I'd like to continue working in the kitchen service team. I hope that my prayer will be fulfilled so that I may be able to meet you every Wednesday evenings. Thank you. Good evening. The other two presenters were so calm that I am a bit nervous. I also started coming to church very late, so I'd like to give thanks to God for the grace He has bestowed upon me through the difficulties, and that is why I am standing here today. Due to time constraints, I cannot share with you all the details, and what I'm about to say may sound somewhat abstract, so I would like to ask for your understanding. It's been nearly 5 years since I came to this church by the grace of the Lord. I used to lead a self-indulgent life, but God led me to this church through a friend who goes to a small church in the province. I was wandering in the pit of sins and death with a stubborn heart, but the Lord showed me His grace in two different occasions by making me go through two physical difficulties. I nearly died in those occasions, but by His grace, I was changed. When I think about the Lord's grace, using my friend who lives far away in Daegu to call me, who lives in the Gangsa district, to this 100th anniversary memorial church, I cannot help but to feel grateful. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Amen. I praise the Lord whenever I contemplate these words from Psalms chapter 103. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. It was grace that taught my heart to fear. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Amen. I praise the Lord, singing Amazing Grace. I first came to this church in April 2012 and started to volunteer at the end of the same year. Every week, God's words through the sermon was food for my soul, and starting the class for the called in September allowed me to stop drinking, which I was unable to do before. And I started working as a volunteer. It was challenging. It was challenging, but because Jesus is the Christ and the Son of the living God, it became clear to me that I have to lead a life trusting Him and following Him. With this grace, I started working in the gardening service team, and through other members of the team who have been serving before me, I came to learn about gardening, and I was able to learn about and feel the missionaries more closely, and was able to meet God who worked through these missionaries. I became the team head in 2015, but around then, God showed me His grace once again through physical difficulty. I had met God and was leading a life of faith, but I was leading an extremely busy life. When I learned I had cancer, through which the Lord strengthened my soul. Of course, I have caused my own cancer, but God helped me to look back into my Christian life through the cancer and used it as a tool to save me. While receiving treatments for cancer, although it was challenging, the time I spent gardening and doing the dishes on Sundays in the kitchen were perhaps the happiest and most graceful moments of my entire life. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Lastly, I'd like to thank all the members of Districts 104 and 109 for helping me and loving me, and our gardening service team and the kitchen service team for their unwavering dedication. And I give thanks and praise the Lord who controls all these things. Thank you. The Parking Guidance Service is about serving church members who come to the church with their cars. Kitchen Service is about serving those who will eat. And the Yanghwajin Gardening Service is about serving those who come to Yanghwajin to pay respects. Kim Ah-sel of the Parking Guidance Service team serves the others on Sunday afternoons before and after the fourth worship service. Song Hayeon of the kitchen service team serves the others in the kitchen on Wednesday evenings. Park Dong-tak of the Yanghwajin gardening service team serves the others by giving water to the flowers of Yanghwajin in the morning. The testimonies of these three people have one thing in common. In their lives, as they serve the others, they have been reaffirmed of the Lord's encouragement that holds them firmly. And with the help of the Lord, they continue to live a life serving the others in the virtuous circle of faith. In the third Sunday at Advent, when we honor the birth of the Lord and wait for his return, the lesson the Lord is giving us is that faith is a virtuous circle. The Lord, who called Paul, a young man who was persecuting Jesus 2,000 years ago, has called upon us who denied him. The Lord is already in the spirit of each and every one of us. If we believe in the grace of the Lord's salvation, let us be his disciples who are engaged day and night to save the people, no matter what we do, at 9 o'clock in the morning, at 12 in the afternoon, or in the evening. Then the Lord will strengthen and encourage us with his arm that is never too short. And with the help of the Lord, we will see a virtual circle of faith in our lives as we serve more and more people. And through such virtual circle of faith, This world of darkness, anger, and hatred will be built into the Lord's stall, full of his love and life. That is why the virtuous circle of faith that is based upon the Lord's grace is important. Let us pray. Lord, when I harmed and trampled someone for my desires, I was actually hurting and trampling the Lord. By insulting the others, I insulted you, Lord. When I turned away from the others, I was turning away from you, Lord. God, I ask for your forgiveness for wasting my precious life without realizing or feeling the Lord's presence. From now on, let us rely on the Lord who is already present in our lives so that we may be true Christians who save the others day and night, no matter what we do, at 9 in the morning, 12 in the afternoon, or in the evening. Help us to confirm your arm that is never too short, that encourages us. And based on your encouragement, help us to lead a life of virtual circle of faith in serving many more people. Through such virtual circle of faith, help this chaotic world be restored to the Lord's stable. 2 days ago, the National Assembly passed the impeachment vote against President Park Geun-hye. Please let this enormous national pain become one that helps rebuild this nation. Please help the politicians transcend their political differences and gather wisdom to overcome this difficulty and build a new future for Korea. Let the people transcend regionalism and kinship and have the wisdom to discern leaders who truly serve the people day and night, at 9 a.m., at 12 in the afternoon, and in the evening. Let the new Republic of Korea that the people and politicians build together become a nation that pleases you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.